Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Johansson winds it. Fire scores! Tie game with 58.5 seconds to go. Eichel in over the line. Cuts into the middle of the ice. It opens up. Eichel pulls it. Shoots it. Scores! No waved off.
Jokiharu got a tripping penalty right here in the middle of the ice.
Hughes up top. One-timer Miller scores. He fired a rocket. And the Canucks take game one of the two-game season series. Now it comes loose to the front of the net and at the point. Left side. One-timer Scandella tipped in front. They score. Scandella with the shot. It looks from here like a deflection, but we'll wait and see. The Sabres, nonetheless, have a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, I think you're maybe going to see Kyle Poso got a piece of this one in front.
Coming back the other way, BC drops for Asplund, left side. Tipped in front of the net, save, and a rebound scores! Johan Larsson. Johansson drops it back to Eichel. He's got some room. Johansson down low, cross ice pass, scores! Miller in overtime. And the Buffalo Sabres get the much-needed 2 points here out of Edmonton.
All right, welcome to the Instigators. We're live down at the KeyBank Center in the atrium, and the Sabres host the St. Louis Blues tonight, 7:30 puck drop. This game is on NBCSN, so Marty is going to join us for the whole show today. Doesn't have to leave for his production meeting.
Production meeting.
No production meeting today, Martin. Good morning.
What was that look? You gave
no, I was thinking in
no,
my head.
I think you gave us a stink eye that you have to stay here the whole time.
I was thinking to myself, I shouldn't have said anything and just walked out at 11 and then got in my car and listened to the show, but no.
No, you got lots to say.
Well, this or that, production meeting or Instigators?
I wasn't on at all last week, right? We did the one from my hotel room.
Riff? Riff, great week.
A lot of people told us that we killed
all
it.
I heard last week was this show is amazing.
They
last
said the
week.
Best part was when I was in my hotel room in Vancouver and I Skyped in. That was the
and
best
you had
part.
Had your
of
pants
week.
On that time.
I did have my pants.
That's
on.
Great finish to that show though. We had some fun at the finish of that segment. I have no idea what we were talking about as usual, but I remember we had a lot of laughs. We were talking about I think Vancouver Western road trip, going out for drinks when you get in on the road, all that stuff.
I know we got a lot. Lots to talk today, but I realize I'm getting older when I'm in Vancouver on a Friday night and I go to dinner with Dan Dunleavy. And after dinner, I'm like, let's go for a walk. And it's dark outside and it's a little rainy. And we get to walk right by the Roxy in Vancouver. And for those who don't know, the Roxy in Vancouver, it's the one big bar. It's got a house band. It has
not one big bar. It's possibly the top
bar.
Three greatest bars in the National Hockey League.
So anyway.
Did you not see my text to the group?
Overrated.
I said this was the most overrated bar in the entire NHL.
No, it's not.
No, you're definitely, here's the thing. I know you're lying.
No, I'm not lying.
So I walk by the Roxy, and I'm like, I got to take a picture of the Roxy, and maybe, Dan, let's go in for maybe just one. Let's go in for a drink. It was 7:15. It doesn't open till 9.
7:15 at our age now, though, feels like 11:30, doesn't
it? Exactly. Like, so I'm like, oops, I'm going to text this to the boys.
We used to go out at 11:15.
especially here in Buffalo with the bars closing at 4. There was no way if we went out, it was never before 10 o'clock or 10:30.
All right, let's talk about this Sabres road trip. They picked up one win, a big win in Edmonton. But I just want to say this road trip and then coming right back, is just exhausting to think about.
It's a grueling schedule because you've got St. Louis tonight, Nashville Thursday, the Islanders Monday. You look at the rest of December, it's so hard schedule-wise. A lot of games, a lot of tough games, and I'll tell you this. This was not an easy trip for the Sabres, 3-4 in Western Canada.
No.
And not only is it not it's a hard trip, but the way the schedule was, usually you play Edmonton, and then you go to Calgary or Calgary-Edmonton, the closed city, and then you go to Vancouver. They had to do Vancouver and back, but they battled. They battled back in Calgary late. They battled back three times in the Vancouver game to get a point, and they battled against Edmonton after taking a 2-0 lead, letting the Edmonton Oilers off the hook in the second, and then the third just shut things down. So they showed a lot of character in that trip to be able to come back and get that win against the Edmonton Oilers.
How many points did Connor McDavid and Draisaitl get in Edmonton?
They got a, what do you call that, a donut?
They call that a goose egg.
A goose egg, yeah.
Listen, I mean, they shut down
the big guns.
The top two scorers in the National Hockey League in their own building. And I don't think there's many teams in the National Hockey League, or if all, has ever shut down both those players in one game.
Do you think emotion came into that one? I mean, I want to make this point, and I will stress this until I'm blue in the face. With what we've seen with coaching going on in the last couple of weeks, Ralph Kruger has got to be just a complete breath of fresh air for all of these players, because every player in this locker room has had a tough coach. And I'm not saying Ralph Kruger isn't tough at times, but I know that this team, every player really likes and respects this coach. And and with what happened in Edmonton years ago, fair or unfair, whatever the case may be, I feel like they played this game to me in a similar way. Like, I felt like the emotion was there for Toronto. Like, I feel like there was that added little incentive.
Well, why do you think?
Well,
two obviously stick out and that are glaring.
Well, then may as well say them, Riv. Are you asking?
I'll ask.
Okay.
I'll ask. Let's see if you... How
I don't know. I'd rather you answer that question.
Give me one.
You know what? One thing that was obvious is that Ralph Kruger is very, very liked in Edmonton, because everybody walking through the arena, media, were excited to see him. He's such a good, positive communicator.
And I spilled my coffee.
You just spilled your coffee,
PD. All right.
Like, oh, no, it looks good. It's cleaned up. One thing that Ralph Kruger said in an interview this weekend, I don't know if it was in Edmonton, but he goes, I look in the mirror and I look like 60, but I feel 25 inside, and I have to relate to
that. I look like 60, but I feel 25.
That's what he said. He said, that's what I have to relate to. That's who I have to communicate with. It's the 25-year-olds in the league, and I feel 25. I feel like when I talk to them, I'm their age. I have a tough time hanging out with people my age. That's what Ralph Kruger said, because I have to think and feel like a 25-year-old, although when I look in the mirror, I'm 60. So that was very important to understand, because that's truly how he feels and how he has to get to the players.
Well, it goes to one of my points. One of my points, you're talking about emotion. It seemed like it was Toronto and how obviously emotional it was when we played Toronto Maple Leafs. But you don't think that every single player in that locker room knew that he was a former coach of the Edmonton Oilers, knowing that this is his first time back to Edmonton. And there's going to be an emotional tie for Ralph Kruger, the head coach. Every single guy in the locker room here in Buffalo
loves him the same way all those players in Edmonton did. I mean,
well, look
Taylor
at
Hall, Ryan Whitney, Nugent Hopkins, they've all come out and said how much they enjoyed playing for Ralph Kruger.
And you know that Ralph had not been back in...
get your buddy on there, Marty.
Who's that?
What do you mean? Can't see him behind the
box? Oh, that's Panger. Oh, no. Darren Pang is walking over. We may... you know what? Are you available for a segment in a little bit? You want to get him on right now, JJ, because he's here? Okay, let's move our things around, and we'll bring a chair and get you on. I'm good.
What's up, Mr.
What's going
Pang?
On, Darren Pang?
How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Hey,
nice to see you. How's everything going? Everything good? We're going to grab you a chair, grab you a headset, pull up a... How dapper. He's such a dapper
guy. Oh, he's
too,
always very dapper.
Guy, geared to the
JJ,
nines.
JJ, I'll take that.
You're way overpaid, Panger. You look great. Hey?
I sit right in there, right in the middle with us.
You know, my dad said you can always tell a lot about his man by looking at his shoes. And you, my friend, those are like as shiny as they get.
As Steve Thomas once said.
Why don't you put your headset on
put
and talk
so people can hear what you're saying.
Are we on now?
We're on.
Oh,
we're,
that's great.
That's the way
we're live. This is the way we do things
around
here.
One of the funniest things I ever heard, speaking of shoes, was we were in New York City about maybe 4 years ago. Steve Thomas was still our assistant coach in St. Louis.
Yep.
And I knew they had an off day, and I knew he went shopping. And he likes his shoes. So we're in the warm-up, and he's got his feet up on the bench, and I look down, and these things are beautiful, magnificent. They got the nice green-red stripe in the back, and I know they're nice pair of Gucci's, new ones. So I look at him. I go, did a little shopping there yesterday, didn't you, Stumpy? He goes, I sure did. I go, how much for the shoes? He goes, puts one up, and he goes, $500 a shoe. And Kevin Shattenkirk had his leg on the bench stretching out the old hamstrings, and I thought he was going to pop one. He was laughing so hard.
Thanks for joining us. I mean,
thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't put on my headset, like I haven't done this in a while. I thought you were in a commercial break or something.
No, we don't worry about commercial breaks. You know, like people want to see how stuff works, you know, off camera, so they get to watch and see how people enter the set, sit down.
We have a big net. It's a catch and release program. We have a big net right to the left here. People get stuck in it, and we drag them over. So
the smart people slither across the wall back there to try and get by us.
But it's little people
that's
like
right.
So Panger and I did the goalie roundtable at NHL Network maybe 3 weeks ago, and had an unbelievable time talking with Kevin Weeks about goaltending. You were saying something, and that you would be sick almost before every game. Do you think players now like feel the same way you did when you played, and to a point where you were sick before every game?
I just had a hard time eating. Even as a kid, though, I couldn't eat before a big game, so I ate a cream of wheat, porridge, something that would stick to my stomach, and it would stay there all day. And then game days, I just had a hard time eating. It was just the way I was. But then when I got to the NHL, I really think, Marty, that playing in the minors for 3 years and making $22,500 and then getting a chance to be up in the NHL and making, you know, whatever we weren't making, let's say $140,000 or $150,000.
Well, back in the 30s, that was a lot, Panger.
That's a lot of money. And there's only 21 teams back then, too. And I just remember the pressure of the look on Wayne Thomas's face, who was a goalie, the pressure, because he went to bat for me. And the worse the goal I gave up, the more pressure I felt that I was going to go back down. You know, and then it just, then I, you know, then you get into the, and then the next year you buy a house. You have a kid, you know, and you're like, now the pressure really mounts because we're still on two-way contracts. So I wasn't on a one-way contract ever, so you felt a little bit of comfort in you. And then I had Mike Keenan, so then I was even more uncomfortable. Wow. So, you know, like life was just kind of a balancing act, and one thing I couldn't do was...
Did you like that, though? Like, I know you're
I hated
talking
throwing
about
up. Throwing up was no fun. Oh, is that what you mean?
Yeah, like... although...
It just comes
that's
out.
That's not like, the first time I've heard someone do that. Like, I mean, there's... A lot of people, and is that more of a mental thing? Like it just becomes a routine for yourself?
Yeah, it probably does.
Right?
Yeah, it probably does. You're probably right. I mean, it was funny. Bob McGill would be getting ready because most of our locker rooms weren't these glamorous locker rooms where you can't even find anybody anymore. They were just two stalls and two.
The toilet used to be right in the middle of the locker room.
Sometimes, like Toronto, right in the middle of the room or wherever. And I'd see Bob McGill, he'd be putting Vaseline on his cheekbones, and you know, I knew he had to fight Joey Koser or Bob Probert or Tony Twist or somebody. And I'm looking at him like, man, what do we got going tonight? I'm leaning over the bucket and I'm throwing up, and then he'd finish all and goes, you ready to go, Spank? Ready to go? I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know,
didn't you feel more ready though?
I did. Yeah, felt way more ready. Yeah, absolutely.
Darren Pang joining us. Obviously, game tonight, NBCSN, works with the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah. So it's a dual broadcast.
Not for us.
You've got NBC Sports Network.
Yeah, we get, and you guys are doing your own regional broadcast, which is kind of funny because, you know, I mean, people like to, like RJ, they like Robbery, obviously.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, they get him on radio. So it's on our radio station here, WGR 550, but... we get the NBC sports crew doing the game tonight.
We've had a few that this year because the Blues won, they ended up taking 15 games.
But
they can only take 12. So we've got three of them that they're side by side. We've done one with Tampa Bay already, and now this is our second one. So
let's talk about the Blues. I mean, Here's the confusion that I have. The miraculous turnaround last year, okay, which I don't think anybody can still to this day figure out how that happened. And then all of a sudden, this year, there's no gap in performance. They're right back to the top of the standings.
Yeah. Well, I think number one, last year at the
without Tarasenko, by the way.
Yeah, without Vladdy, without Steen, without Sammy Blaze, a really good young player. Sunquist has been injured as well. Four
key pieces to your run last year.
But you know, I think that most people would say that last year they underachieved or didn't get to their potential early on under Mike Yeo, and then it wasn't like they weren't trying hard. They played well on the road. They couldn't play well at home. They're getting beat by Vancouver 6-1, by Ottawa 6-1. They're getting beat by teams that weren't even playoff teams at home bad. And they were going away without a fight. There was no spirit in the night whatsoever. Yeah. And then, then the tough decision for Doug Armstrong is, I got to fire the coach. So he fires the coach. And you know, I think, fortunately for the Blues, that Craig Berube was that next guy. And the way that Craig deals with things is way different than the way a lot of other guys will deal with things. It's very black and white. And he got the players playing for the blue note in the front instead of maybe what they were playing for in the back. With so many new players, you still had to figure out Tyler Bozak, Pat Maroon, Ryan O'Reilly. There's probably another player that I'm missing. You brought in
the defense.
Oscar
struggled
Sundquist
early in the year, right?
They did.
Like
our defense
Petrangelo was really a shaky start the season last year.
You know what? I didn't like our D zone coverage last year to begin the year. I mean, I'm watching the
that was Rick's favorite part of our game last year here in Buffalo.
The man to man last year was really good, right?
Well, that's exactly what the Blues were trying to do, a hybrid thing, and I just felt like the quality of chances were right in the slot. Yeah. And our goalies were getting left to hang out to dry, and it was unbelievable. And then after a game, everybody look at the goalies and say, goalie's got to make saves. And I'm like, oh, that D-zone coverage is awful. They tightened it up. And then they went, wow. Then they went on a roll. Then they won 11 in a row. You know, 11 in a row gets you in a good spot. Yeah. So they started going, 7-3-1, 7-3-1.
But is that because of Craig Berube and his philosophy and his coaching?
Or is it a new
lease on life? I mean, a lot of these guys beaten down, not playing well, last team in the league. The happiest team in the league at the time was Buffalo Sabres because we had their draft pick. But then, coach has fired Mike Yeo. Craig Berube comes in.
And one more thing. Jordan Binnington.
Bennington.
That was one of those things where they'd signed the big goalie Johnson. They'd signed in the offseason.
Chad Johnson, yeah. He was here in Buffalo before,
$1.75 million to kind of, to tag team it. And it was clear that wasn't going to be the future. And when the team wasn't going well, I think it was either Dave Taylor, Kevin McDonald, who runs our American League team, not sure who else, but suggested, listen, let's find a team, move that along. Let's bring up a guy that the Blues haven't given a sniff yet. The number one guy was Ville Husso, who had a high ankle sprain. But he's that next guy. He's that guy that has thrown the real chip on the shoulder for Jordan Binnington because Jordan kept falling back one guy. Mm-hmm. And then Ville Husso
seems like he has a chip on his shoulder.
And he does. He wants every day to prove that they've been wrong in not making him a prospect.
This is a guy that was being loaned to different teams, not even staying in
loaned to Boston.
Loaned to Boston, so he played in Providence. Yeah. You know, St. Louis is like, we don't have a place for you in our American League team, so we'll loan you to Providence.
No, it's even bigger than that, and this shows the way he is. And we've all probably been down that road where we felt like calling a GM, and I did that when I was my third year pro. Called the GM at home and said, where is everybody? Why isn't anybody watching me? It was one of those things. And he got a call from either it was Kevin McDonald, our assistant GM, or it was Doug Armstrong, and said, you're going to go to the East Coast League. We don't have room for you. And he said, absolutely not. Yeah. I am not going to the East Coast League. I played 40 games there. He's played 201 games in the American League, or I think that was the East Coast Hockey League, Kalamazoo was. He says, I'm not going there. I'll wait for something else. So he didn't go to the East. They waited, and there was an injury or a call-up. Malcolm Subban got picked up on waivers, who happens to be Binnington's buddy. And so he goes to Vegas. They've got an opening. They call Kevin McDonald and say, we got an opening. And then he runs the table and takes over the team, and they play him, and he becomes an all-star. So then they wanted, from what I understand, I think they made
and
an offer to trade for him.
He ends up beating Boston in the finals. Like, Boston developed him, and then he beats him in the finals last year, yeah, which is the way it goes. When I talked, I went in and talked to Craig Berube quickly, and, you know, Mark Savard is there, and yep. Steve Ott, and Coach Van Rijn. So I come back, and I'm telling Craig Berube, like, they've got, like, just grit. Like, just freshly retired type yeah. of coaching staff there. Like, how much does Steve Ott and Mike Van Rijn and Mark Savard, how much have they done to help Craig Berube and be a part of that locker room and lift their spirit up?
They're all a little different, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They Steve are. Ott you're right. was one of the most hated players in the National Hockey League when he played. But with that, he was a very good hockey
an
player.
An intelligent player.
And knew what it took for him to be successful and to help the team. And obviously, Mark Savard, insanely talented, offensively gifted guy throughout
and
his
it's
entire
his first year
career.
With us, so no one knew. Yeah. You know, no one knew what exactly
Mike
that
Van
was going to be like.
Mike Van Rijn was no slouch and no, as a really beautiful puck-moving defenseman, had some offense abilities to him. So
he was a first-rounder, I think, to New Jersey.
Was he
really? That's correct, yeah.
I think
yeah.
he was. He was 98. He was my draft because I remember New Jersey, Dallas traded their pick out, and they drafted Gomez and Van Rijn in the same draft.
Is that right,
huh? Yeah, there you go. Sorry, yeah, carry go. On,
that's,
boys.
That's good, though. But Mike Van Rijn is the kind of very even-keeled guy. You know, so when I look – what I like about being a broadcaster with this group is they treat you with such respect. And they're even keeled, and they don't get all bothered with anything with us. Yep. You know, it's not like they try to micromanage. I've never heard a word, about anything that we've said on the air from these guys. I even asked Craig Berube last week before the playoffs. I said, Chief, it's your first year, you know, running the team for the playoffs. Is there anything you want from us? You know, do we bother you in any way? Are we in the room too long? You know, just asking the simple questions. Playoffs are going to start. You're on a roll, and he's like, he said to me, if we're going to win 16 games and win the Stanley Cup, do whatever you've been doing. Because we want to be even-keeled. We want normal. We want you to be normal. I'm not making – there's no new rules. You know, the same guys are on the plane. The same guys are on the – same guys are here. Same guys are there.
Do you guys believe that, too? Like, do you believe that if a coach starts to make special rules and stuff for different times, it makes players
– It changes everything.
Changes a little bit of the thought process, doesn't it?
I hate it, and it's one of the things that coaches used to do in the 90s is they used to put the teams in a hotel, even at home.
Yeah.
Right? So we are in the playoffs in 2000 or 2001, and Dougie Gilmore has to be staying at the Marriott in Williamsville here when his house is 5 minutes away, and he's like – I'm not staying in a hotel. No. I want my bed. I want to be in a normal environment. And I think that's changed a lot over the last little bit.
They made those optional.
Yeah.
Like the Blues have always given the players at home the option to have a...
Well, traffic is a little different.
You want to go home, you go home. You want to go there, you go
there. See that option, the wife and kids that she's got four. You're not going anywhere. No. I need someone to help out here.
But they do keep it normal, and that's I've loved the way they've respected and treated us, and I like the way they all do. They all go about their business, and they've all been incredible to work with.
Darren Pang joining us here. This segment has flown by. I want to ask you from the outside of Buffalo in the Western Conference, what's the Jack Eichel spot like? Look like to you?
It's good. It's a new. It looks new. It looks. I don't know if it's the white sweaters with the gold trim, but and the white gloves, which I love, by the way. I love them.
They're not wearing it tonight, so unfortunately, you won't get to see them. But you'll if you turn it on Thursday night.
Yeah,
you'll see it because it's 80s night here, odd night at the KeyBank Center. Okay. So you'll see him wearing that Thursday, but not tonight.
13 game point streak where he has 23 points.
I love. First of all, there's a lot of things you like about his game. The skating has always been real good, but I think now, and maybe I'm wrong. You guys see him. Seems like now that he's taken it to the net a little bit harder instead of this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, and then you kind of go. All right, now all those options are gone now. But the way he shoots the puck, if you're in the net or you're a defenseman and you want to get stick on puck or you want to get in the lane, the way he shoots it, it's impossible to read it off his stick. So why would I want him deferring it to somebody else? So I like when he shoots the puck because I think every time he shoots the puck, it's going to go in the net. And I think that's going to be a main a main part, and maybe his good buddy Ryan O'Reilly. I heard Jack Eichel on NHL Network last night, and he was talking about getting together maybe and having dinner with Ryan. And I'm thinking, well, Ryan's our best defensive centerman, and Jack's the best offensive forward. This could be a good matchup here tonight.
He'll have dinner tonight on the ice here at center ice for a shift. No, but one of the things we use the Sabres and our broadcast use Sports Logic as one of the analytics.
Or Sports Logique.
Sports Logique with Mike.
Out of Montreal, out of Quebec.
Yeah. So, but Mike Kelly out of Montreal. Yeah. But so one of the things that we keep track of is puck possession in the offensive zone. And Jack Eichel is always a minute 10. It's always one of the highest in the league in puck possession in the offensive zone. But to your point, there was almost too much puck possession. Yeah. Too much of, I'm going to hang on to it. What's the play? And and this year, I believe his shooting percentage is up in the 16%. It was always around 10. He's not shooting more, but more quality of shots. More taking it to the middle. A lot tougher to defend that way. Yeah. And I think that's what I've seen. And I know that, you know, everybody says, oh, teams, they all play with pace and they're all fast. But Jack Eichel, out of everybody here in Buffalo, and they played in Edmonton, you know, Sunday, and you could Draisaitl, McDavid, Jack plays a much quicker brand of hockey that he's had since being here in Buffalo, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I like the offensive zone possession time, too. Yeah. Like, I think it's a big factor. Like you mentioned, not every team has to be the fastest team in the world, but you have to play a little bit fast. Like, I went through it last year with the St. Louis Blues. I said, like, Alexander Steen's not a fast player, but he moves the puck. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ryan O'Reilly, you guys know he's not a fast player, but he gets the puck and he moves the puck and he gets to an open spot. David Perron's not a fast player. Tyler Bozak's not a fast player.
That's how I would describe Sam Reinhart.
Sam Reinhart's not a fast player, you know, so, but if you hold on to it and hold on to it, well, then you're going to look probably a little bit slower. And so I that's the way the game is played.
Give and go, and then give and go.
The analytics of the Blues, I often say this, that there's they get the fewest attempts per game because they're not a funneling wasted shot team to the net. They don't just fire a puck from the goal line to funnel it, you know, to get the attempts up high. They actually hold on to pucks to get really good attempts. And then they'll wait and wear you down.
Well, that's a confident team.
Yeah, they'll wear you down.
So, 'cause what happens when you're not confident? You go back to the basics, and you funnel thing everything.
That's right.
Everything.
You hope it hits a skate or hits somebody's pants and goes in or whatever.
Get the D turning.
Puck to the net.
Around.
Good things can happen.
Yeah. One thing that we, you know, Petey, we were talking. We watched probably about 10 of them come down those stairs down there and go in the front doors. And the one thing that you said right away
they're big.
They're a big team. They're big on the back end.
The D are big.
Yep.
Big. But they don't, you know, like I look at last year. So let's just say, well, I mean, Braden Schenn's probably, 210. Zach Sanford's not here. Schwartz is good hockey boy. Robert Thomas, big lower half, as they like to say.
Yeah.
Hockey, a lot of them are hockey, just true hockey bodies. But the big guy, like Bo Meester and Parayko, I did the math, did the sticks, did their arm length. And I had it about 24 and a half feet if you put them both together. And with their sticks, with their length,
so
and with
they
size.
Cover 24 and a half feet of ice at the blue line.
20, you know, I mean,
out of the 80 feet that
and they can both skate,
and they both skate.
And they can both skate. So like this Colton Parayko last year, if he didn't get top three votes for the Conn Smythe Trophy, I just wonder. Yeah. He and Bo Meester went head to head with every top line. Yeah. That they went through Scheifele, they went through Sagan, they went through, let me go through the next one. They went through, hold on, Couture and those boys, and then they went through Bergeron and those guys, 5-on-5.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on a conversation we have regularly, just the parity in the league? I feel like every year we talk about it and how it, you know, every team, and you look at the league last night, I mean, just an absolute random, everybody, the teams that should have won, got smoked last night. You know, if you look at them on paper.
Tough parlay last night.
Well, you're talking gambling now, eh?
Or a good one, eh?
Well, the underdog. You're the underdog, yeah.
Or a good one.
Yeah, or a very, I guess so, eh, Rivs? Hey. Spoken like a true gambler.
Absolutely. That boy, Rivs.
Hey, way to take the positive approach for once. But, I mean, you take. There's always optimism when it comes to that kind of stuff.
When it's gambling, let's go.
But take a look at the Sabres division, for instance. I mean, you know, they're still hovering. Every team is right in the in the same ballpark range of points. I mean, and Montreal, Riv pointed out, they lost 8 in a row. Toronto struggled. You know, Buffalo got off to a hot start, but they're still right there in the mix. I mean, the parity's at an all-time high, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is. And, well, you saw last year when you guys won the 10 games in a row and how you jumped through the rankings. The Blues last year won 11 in a row, bang, left a few in the dust. But what you can't do is you can't do, you know, 8-2 and then go 1-6. And in Montreal, they're fortunate that they put some points in the bank. And now what, there's two points behind.
Actually, you can't, Banger, because Buffalo did. And they're still in third in their division.
There you go.
Yeah, but, okay, the Atlantic is a division right now that if you have to have a little bit of a skid, you can recover. Because other than Boston, because Toronto and Tampa are not where you thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
But when you look at the Central, you can't really afford to lose 5 or 6 because – Winnipeg's strong this year. Colorado's really strong. Dallas is at a terrible start, but they're coming on strong
and
now.
And you think that Nashville's going to make a move at some particular point, too. You know, like they're...
Nashville sitting in sixth position in the Central is not where you thought they were going to be.
That's too good of a team
especially
to be there.
Especially with Pekka start this year. He was... Yeah. Like it was unbelievable, and now they just can't stop anything.
But again, are you starting to look at a lot of this stuff as the change of the guard? You know, Nashville has been on top for a very, very long time. I know they still have a very good team, but there's a lot of other teams out there. You look at Arizona, who is now starting to establish that, you know,
they have that hunger,
underachieving team for a few years.
But the buy-in.
Yeah, the buy-in is there. Obviously, Tockett's done a nice job there, and he has these guys playing well.
Nashville seems like a team that, when they want to turn it on, the Blues went in on a home-and-home. Let's call it a Friday, Sunday, or a Thursday, Saturday. I think it was a Thursday, Saturday. And Nashville beat them at home and stifled them. Really good defensive coverage. Like, they were on their game. It was like this was their matchup. This was their gauge in their game against the Stanley Cup champions, and, boy, they were good. The Blues went into Nashville down 2-0 right off the hop, really climbed back hard. I mean, it was a good tie. I would call it a great tie, 2-2, fought hard, and they lost in the shootout. But the players afterwards, I asked them, and they said, that's as tight a group as we've had to play. For us in the offensive zone, we had nothing. We weren't getting any chances whatsoever. So there's something there. It's fresh in Arizona. They're all bought in. They're all energized. And then in Nashville, it seems like they're just grinding away right now.
They don't know where that's
going to lead, but there's a lot more to the Nashville.
Well, you were in Arizona before, and they seem to find certain guys at times that you're like, where did they find this guy? They got a guy, Connor Garland. Yeah. I call him Christmas Garland. I mean, he's just like he's a big present wrapped in a nice bow. I mean, he's come out, and I don't know what his numbers are at now, but he's definitely above 10 goals and.
Well, they gave him a chance, too. Like, they didn't say, well, you know what, he looks like kind of a smaller player. He looks like maybe he can't compete with the big boys in the NHL. And then you see him roll off checks, and then you see him fight for pucks, and then you see his competitiveness, and then you see him make a play. I mean, he led the Quebec League, I think, 2 years in a row. I mean, so he's a good player. Yeah. He actually played with Ivan Barbashev on Moncton. And but you're right. But they give guys chances.
Yeah. Darren Pang joining us here. We don't have much time. We do have to go to break. I want to ask you quickly, and we'll get our comments from it later. But you don't even have to comment. But just the league coming out and saying that they want to see a change in culture and coaching. And you've been around the game a long time as a player, an analyst. You've probably seen every different coach known to man.
Yep.
Tell me what you think about this movement.
Well, I think it has to be. It has to be there. It has to be more transparent because what we're seeing is former players that aren't in the game that have said some things, whether it be Dan or whether it be Sean Avery. And, the more stories come out, the more that we have to make sure that those stories don't come out again. I think that's just the facts. I mean, I can say that I had Brian Kilray as a coach and he said some things to me, or I had Mike Keenan, or I had this guy, or I had Daryl Sutter in the minors. Like, one thing I would never do, I would never throw those guys under the bus. That's all I know. I know unless it was something, if it's a racial situation or something that's goes back, that's a lawful thing, that's a different thing. But I think for me personally, I would never throw any of those guys ever under the bus. They were my coach. We were in our room. That is our room. And all we wanted to do was win together. And I tell a funny story. I think Mike Keenan could probably come back at some of us. I threw a mask at him. I threw a water bottle at him.
Yeah, but he deserved it, though,
absolutely.
Too. That's the,
but I'm saying even with, like, my, like, I, Mike, I had a hard time with Mike Keenan. I got pulled 13 times. But 13 I'm not going out somewhere and saying anything that happened in that room that was other than what he, you know, 13 times. So I make fun of it, and I'm more self-deprecating. But I've had coaches that are rough coaches, junior coaches, whatever. But I wish that if it was something, a little thing, that a little thing doesn't need to come out and you know, and throw somebody so far under the bus that they may not ever be working again.
Well, let me. You
if it's
almost,
a big thing, that's a way different thing.
You almost weren't working again, if I have the highlight correctly, because I remember watching Don Cherry's Rock'em Sock'em Hockey, and you took a slap shot right to the forehead. And you, who took that shot? It was from outside the blue line. Was it Al McInnes?
No, Russ Courtnell.
Russ
in
Courtnell.
Toronto. It, yeah.
Right? You were
Maple
playing for Chicago?
Gardens. Yeah, I was.
Man, imagine you if that? Your head wasn't there, that would have been right under the bar.
You know what? I can't believe he fired you.
Boom, sorry.
That's what he does, right?
But I was on Rock'em Sock'em, and I love that part of it. And I love the part that the Grapes gave me love. And for me, that tough little guy, I tell you, he's a tough guy from Ottawa.
But that had to hurt. Those helmets weren't exactly the most protective helmets that you had
on.
We
didn't have a concussion spotter anywhere. I got drilled in the head. I got cut for whatever. They're putting the butterflies on me because I wanted to stay in. Yeah. I go off the bench. The trainer's just barely getting the mask off. They're trying to get the blood. It's only a little gash. It's only a little six stitch or something like that. So I got a little bit of a knot in my head. And as the faceoff goes in the ozone, Bob Mason gets onto the ice, and they give him a little bit of time. Off the faceoff, back to the point, shot off the crossbar, up in that little section above the...
Yep.
And so our coach looks at me and goes, "Are you not ready yet?"
Like, that was 3 seconds, right?
I got the, you know, I can picture right to this day the trainer's trying to put this glue or something on there. He throws me out there, and I go right back in the net, finish the game, and I don't know if we won
That's
the
awesome.
Game. Yeah, we did.
But anyway. It was Toronto.
Yes, you do know.
It was Toronto. You wanted to be
it's only team. Yeah, you're right. It was a nationally televised hockey night.
You wanted
Canada
to
game.
Be.
But you know what's great,
aunts
though?
And grandmas and kids watching. Yeah.
It's easy to laugh about now. I mean, I've been KO'd, and you laugh at it now, but you look back, and you tried to get up.
You tried
everything
you could. 1, 2.
Oh, you could have counted to 1,000, Panger. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome,
today.
Guys.
Appreciate
always a pleasure.
Appreciate you sliding in with us.
Senior goalie.
When we come back from break, we're going to do To the Point, but also at 11 o'clock, we're going to have Marty's on the whole show. We're going to talk about Jack Eichel. And one of the things that we'll talk about, we'll call the segment Behind Closed Doors. Panger's doing a walk-off. What kind of goals do we think Jack Eichel sets for himself? Every player does it. And it's something they never talk about. I mean, for me, it was just score one goal. For other guys, it was others. But the fact of the matter is every player sets goals. And with the season Jack's having, you have to wonder if maybe he's changed that. So we'll talk about that at 11, but coming up, To the Point, presented by Jim Stakeout.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, so some news around the hockey world. We did talk about saying To the Point, presented by Jim Stakeout, but Jim Montgomery from the Dallas Stars just fired, let go from his coaching position in Dallas. We found that out right at the break. And
Jim Neal has a statement, the general manager there, basically saying unprofessional conduct is the standard that was not met for the Dallas Stars organization, and that was why the decision was made.
Well, instantly, I think, you know, Riv goes, Babcock to Dallas? But I think they're in good good spot there for coaching. I don't want to get into what potentially could have happened. I mean, I don't know what it has to do with.
This is big because we've had the Babcock thing with Mitch Marner. It actually started with Don Cherry. started with Don Cherry. And the decision by Sportsnet to fire Don Cherry. Then Babcock got fired. I think it was because of performance in Toronto more than anything else. But then the story with Mitch Marner came out afterwards. Then you had the Bill Peters racial situation with Beckham Alou and physical abuse. Yep. And then you had the players come out, and Chris Chelios and all the players said, well, Babcock did this and, you know, made the mule in Detroit, want to stop playing hockey. But I thought it felt like everything was at a rest now, that everything was put behind and that the stories that needed to come out had all came out. This one, Panger walked off the set. I caught up with him. I'm like, hey, as we were talking about coach's behavior, the Dallas Stars have fired Jim Montgomery for unprofessional conduct. And as Panger pointed out, a coach yelling and, maybe grabbing the guy by the collar a little bit in the locker room, we've seen that happen here and there. And, hockey's a different culture, but there's certain things that you can't come back from. Racial, sexual, there's different things that are way over the line that you can definitely, as a culture and as a team and as a group, can never come back from. And I think these are the big things that we've seen coming out now. Like the Bill Peters thing, it was pretty significant. And it set a standard as to which the NHL now is going to have to.
It goes right on the heels of Gary Bettman in the league talking about the culture and what's going to be tolerated too.
Yeah. No. And I mean, we all played juniors, midget, American League, where back in the 80s and 90s.
Did we read it?
Well, not yet. But back in the 80s and 90s, there was things that were done that obviously are not the standard now in 2019, 2020, but they were done and you kind of moved on and you accepted it as it was. But this is
we're assuming right now that this has to do with the actual players.
Well, here's what Jim Nils.
You know what I'm saying? We don't know when we're talking code of conduct that it was not.
It doesn't mean what's the assistant general manager with the Ottawa Senators that was let go for unprofessional conduct. It had nothing to do with the players.
That's right.
It was here in Buffalo at the draft with a hotel employee, and that is ground for harassment and things like that. So unprofessional conduct could be like, but PD, why don't you read the statement?
So Jim Nils' statement is, the Dallas Stars expect all of our employees to act with integrity and exhibit professional behavior while working for and representing our organization. This decision was made due to unprofessional conduct inconsistent with the core values and beliefs of the Dallas Stars and the National Hockey League.
It has nothing to do with performance on the ice. And to be honest with you, with the start of the Dallas Stars this season, Jim Montgomery was on the hot seat at the very start, and they turned it around. They are a really good team, and they're coming back. And this...
But again, does this piggyback off of what is going on with Gary Bettman and... the National Hockey League, the governor's meeting is coming up, is it not? Or are they doing it now?
They were doing it, yeah.
Do you think maybe, and again, this is hypothetical speculation, whatever you want to call it, maybe someone in Dallas might have known and they were trying to maybe deal with it internally, and then all of this came out with the league and they're like, we don't have a choice. Maybe they talked to the league about it. Maybe they said, hey, listen, we've had this happen with Jim Montgomery. We've been trying to deal with it, but this is something that happened, and they're just
I don't know. I don't know, PD. The only reason
the
I'm saying
is,
that...
The timing is...
I know that the Bill Peters story was out in the public, so the Calgary Flames had to push Peters aside while they were investigating the incident. So they basically said, the game here in Buffalo was the first one, that Bill Peters did not coach for the Flames when the story broke. This, to me, if the Dallas Stars had known that something was happening, they may have been a, Jim Montgomery is taking a personal leave for a few games while we sort things out or whatever. And then I think it had to have been something that has happened recently that they came to realization and had to make a decision on. But
yeah.
I'm sure we'll know. I'm sure by the end of the day we'll find out something.
Okay. We have to find out a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, 11 o'clock, bless you, JJ. 11 o'clock, bless you again. We're going to talk about behind closed doors. I mean, Jack Eichel's having just an unbelievable season. And what kind of goals do you think Jack Eichel is setting for himself behind closed doors quietly? Because when you get off to a season like this, I mean, he talked openly at the start of the year in press conferences about how he wants to become more of an elite goal scorer. And we already knew he was an elite point producer, but if he became more of an elite goal scorer, that would automatically bump his points up.
That's right.
And, you know, here he is, Teddy Purcell, sending out that tweet in the summertime talking about watching Jack shoot on the ice in the summertime. So we'll talk about that at 11 o'clock. I find it's going to be a fascinating conversation because we've all played with players that set goals and they don't really tell you what they are. You know, they keep them quiet, close to the chest. And I'll tell you why at 11 o'clock, why they might do that. So that and To the Point probably coming up a little bit later also, and Dis or Dat. So stick around. Marty's here the whole show.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
All right, welcome back. Lines were released, at least the practice lines right now, not necessarily the game line, but it looks like we might see Casey Mittelstadt back in and Connor Sheary out. Darlene started practice with a red sweater and is now in a normal blue sweater. He's been practicing with Scandella. McCabe was out last game. Tell me what you guys think about the lines and what we might see tonight. All right, good talk. Anything?
Well, okay, I'll start saying Ralph Kruger and the Sabres have done this now for the last few games, basically saying, I'm not going to tell you what the lines are, who is going to be in or who's not going to be, and who's going to be out of the lineup tonight. We'll leave it as a game time decision. So it could change. But you had to figure that Casey Mittelstadt was going to draw back in the lineup after watching the game in Edmonton. I was on the press box. Both Jake McCabe and Casey were on the press box watching, and they looked like they, you pay attention and you're trying to learn something from the game. So they weren't going to sit Casey 3, 4, 5 games in a row. They're going to put him right back in at home. It's probably the logical thing. And that would leave a guy like Connor Sheary out because who else are you going to take out? You just put Rodriguez back in. You got to get him going as well. So it does make sense in that way. Now, on the defensive side, I thought Scandella and Jokiharju played well against Edmonton. They were more in a limited role, but they played really well. So I'm a little surprised to see that.
Was there players on the back end that you did not feel have played well on the Western road trip?
I feel like you're asking this question.
Yeah, he hasn't answered.
But you want to answer. You're the defenseman guy. Answer your own question.
I am very happy with getting different feelings. and that's why I ask, Marty. I mean, you had
the
ability.
Sets you up so that he can attack you. That's what he wants.
Attack you. I'm not looking to attack. I don't attack on here.
Okay. Basically, I mean, we've all seen Jake McCabe struggle a little bit of late. And that's why when he was healthy scratch in the last game against the Edmonton Oilers, it made sense. Now what we've seen, we're also seeing Zach Bogosian struggle a little bit of late. So, you know, if you want to insert Jake McCabe in, the thought, and especially because your left-handed, right-handed situation is what it is,
yep.
You're taking a left-handed shot out now, and you're going to have, what is it, in tonight's game, you would have 5 righty and only 1 lefty?
I have a question for you. Here's a hypothetical. What if Mittelstadt's skating with a line and he's centering his line, but why can't they went 6D in Edmonton.
When's the last time Casey Mittelstadt played center?
Earlier in the year,
it's been a couple of weeks now that he's been on the left side, the left wing. So he's now back to center.
Well, I mean, it depends how you look at it. Some of the people on Twitter have Mittelstadt in the middle, and some have him at the right as a right winger with Evan Rodriguez in the middle. So This could, will bounce back and forth.
I don't think they can throw Dahlin and play him for...
He's not ready to play.
He's not. That's been confirmed.
It's been clear. Like Ralph Krueger said, he is still in concussion protocol. Okay. He's making strides, but he's not there yet.
They're
going to
be
yet.
Very, very cautious with that young man and bringing him back. They're going to make sure that he is 110% before he steps back on the ice. Obviously, Mittelstadt coming back to center after him not playing center for the last couple weeks. You had mentioned possibly could Casey Mittelstadt play right wing and Rodriguez be center due to our Twitter friends.
Yep.
Why would you put Casey Mittelstadt on right wing?
Well,
he had a hard time playing center and left wing, so you want to try him on right wing.
No,
where
and
he's probably never played before.
And Evan Rodriguez is a right-hand shot, so it's probably easier for Evan to play the right wing. But I would think what you're going to see is if it is a line of Skinner, Mittelstadt, and Rodriguez, that Erod's going to take a lot of draws on the right side of the ice, and Mittelstadt will take draws on the left side, and they'll rotate. They'll do some switch in the defensive zone, depending on who's first into the zone, who's going to go down low right away. So the center position, to me, you know, it's a lineup thing. It's a how do you face off against the other team, you know, in your defensive zone or in whichever zones. But that's what it is. And then after that, it sorts itself out.
What do you think Casey Mittelstadt took away from being scratched for the first time in his young career?
Well, if we talked about players like Jordan Binnington playing with a chip on his shoulder, and I would hope that Casey did not like it, was probably upset about it, and would come back with a chip on his shoulder whenever, if it's tonight, then you come back and you play lights out. You play out of character a little bit. I would hope so. I don't know Casey all that well now, and we have not seen him in that position to say, hey, there's a standard set by Casey Mittelstadt. When you give him an opportunity, he responds to it. We don't know yet, so we'll have to see.
Bill Whippert, listening to the show, just messaged and said, in successive sentences, you do a line from Vacation and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. All, see, Bill knows. Bill knows the great movies. We got to go
you
to break
did?
This. I did. Yes, I did.
That's what
greatness is. Movie quotes.
Petey, right before break.
I think I only used to talk to my teammates in movie
Pierre
quotes.
Pierre LeBrun just tweeted that he was told the NHL was aware of the situation with Jim Montgomery even before Gary Bettman met the media last night to announce the league's four-point plan, but that Montgomery's dismissal does not fall under the auspices of that plan. So, not
how long
related.
Ago did he send that out?
He sent that out 14 seconds ago.
Thanks for listening, Pierre LeBrun. All right, we'll be right back. Instigators, Andrew, Craig, Marty. When we come back, tell you what we're going to talk about right here. Behind closed doors, what kind of goals is Jack Eichel setting for himself? We'll talk about maybe what kind of goals he might have had at the start of the year, and with where he's at now, has he changed those goals? And what do we need to do to get this team to the playoffs on Jack's shoulders? Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.